It is time now for the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Nat, Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, TQAG.com on the web, as they join us for Appraise This. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Well, I can barely hear you, Marshall.
It's, you know, I was going to ask you the question. We've installed, we had a problem with our computer and our line, so we've installed a special digital line into the computer, and I have to find a way to adjust its level. I haven't found it yet. So you guys are going to have to strain to hear us.
Okay. But you can hear us.
Oh, you're loud and clear. Now,
That's because we have big mouths.
We'll join the club. I'm the president of the Big Mouth Club. I enjoyed the club so much I bought it. So now I do have something to announce to you guys. Every year you come up and you do a real nice fundraising auction for the HVA. Well, we are in the process right now of starting to build the new FM station, which will be centered out of Kent, Connecticut. And on the New York side, on the Connecticut side of the border, it will now give us coverage from Cornwall Bridge down through Kent, South Kent, New Milford, Warren, and Lake Warramug. It's going to add that whole area into our listening area. And on the New York side, it's going to bring us listeners from basically Amenia, New York, down to Pawling, New York, and over to Millbrook, New York, once it's completed. Wow. So we're in the process of a GoFundMe campaign, because we have a very, very special donor who wants to remain anonymous that will match every dollar we get, beginning at $10,000. So we're telling people, folks, it's very rare that you can turn $10,000 into $20,000 with the snap of a finger. So we're asking people to go to our GoFundMe page, which is right on our homepage of the radio station, robinhoodradio.com, or on our Facebook page. And if every one of our persons that likes the radio station were to donate $10, we'd really be well over the top. So.
You can count on us, as you can always count on us, Marshall.
We'll do our
share, and we'll send out to our friends as well.
And it's even more important for next year when you come up, because people in that coverage area will now be able to hear us.
Right.
That makes a big difference.
Yeah, it does. It does. But that's wonderful to see the growth that's going on. And it's important to not only support the local public radio station, but also all of your efforts. And that's wonderful. I applaud that. That's wonderful. Great, great, great.
So, all right. So what are you guys doing now? What are you guys doing?
Well, let's see. Tim just got back.
I last week when you called, I was boarding a plane, and Greg forgot, he took somebody to the airport and then fell and forgot to wake back up. He got up early.
Yes, I apologize. I must have shut the alarm off, but you know, for the life of me, I cannot remember shutting the alarm off. I will say that when I woke up, I felt extremely rested.
But it was good. I was in I had to fly to Indianapolis. I was teaching at the Certified Auctioneer Institute and teaching a bunch of a great group of auctioneers going through the training there, and then went from there to Chicago and was appraising a wine collection. And wine is very hardy and can withstand a lot. However, if you just leave it in the basement unattended in a house that is barely air conditioned or somewhat air conditioned, but the hot summers and the cool winters, that extreme temperature, wine does not like that. And as soon as I walked in, you can see that the corks had already poked through some of the capsules, because when it gets too hot, the cork goes forward, and then when it gets really cold, it retreats back in. So there was a lot of that going on, probably for I don't know how long. So it was a difficult news that I had to deliver, to say, well, it looks like these French wines that were from the 70s and 80s I think had turned to vinegar. And I said, we need to open a bottle. And when you're doing, especially wine collections like this, you have to check the wine to see, because maybe, maybe they might be okay. But we opened two bottles, and I mean, you could tell as soon as we opened it, I mean, it was even beyond vinegar. It just, they were not good. So that was not good. And yeah, then went on to Washington, D.C.
Can I just interrupt, or can you, yeah. can you hear me? Is it, or is it only Marshall that you can't hear? Is it both of us, or?
Chell, are you there?
I can't hear you. Can't hear you.
Okay.
But went on to Washington, D.C. and was auctioneering a lot of decorative, fine and decorative arts, and which is always great because there's a lot of things that we run into in our estates, and some things sold, some things didn't. So to get a really good sense of where the market is was great. And then we're back. So,
are you there, Jill?
Yes, I'm trying to be, but I suspect that I've got the same same issue that Mark. What I was trying to, I wanted to go back to wine for a second. Do you have any idea what I'm saying, or no?
Yes.
Okay. Because I just I didn't understand that extreme temperature thing. Just as a regular person, a person who likes wine, but a person who
sure.
Yeah. So it is the temperament of some of these allegedly inanimate objects, because art is not dissimilar. You know, you can take your favorite piece of art and put it in the room that, that looks the most perfect, and then come along about X years later and go, gee.
And we just lost you, Jill, but I do.
We lost you, Jill.
I know the line you're going down is art is very similar, is that you can't just put it into an environment that is going to be too hot or too cold and expect it to just have longevity. You do have to take care of it. And whether it is oil on canvas or even we have lithographs and posters. And with those, it also, there are certain temperatures, there's certain UV plexi to help from fading. I mean, there's so many different factors. And in different areas of whatever you're collecting, it's very important to know what those parameters are. Right, Greg?
Yeah, the thing about the difference between art and wine is you can drink wine
and then it's gone.
But you can't drink art.
Well, no.
But you can't drink wine if it's gone off.
But that's about it.
Yeah. You're so poetic, my husband.
I know.
Poet.
Your husband, I don't know if you can, again, this is hard because I can hear me so well and I'm talking quite loudly for this hour of the day. But the thing about your husband, he is right, except there's nothing quite as repellent as good wine that just tastes bad.
Oh, and Jill, so I was there with the trust officer and I said, well, here, you take a sip. And she's like, what, you're going to make me drink this first? I said, well, no, I'm opening the other bottle. I'm going to sip that.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm there with you. Let's just try this because we just, and you could just tell. I said, I just want to see. Now, the one totally gone. The other was so far on the edge. I think if it was exposed to oxygen any longer, it definitely would turn. So
right.
But, you know, I said, ugh.
They have an interesting tool for wine connoisseurs now where you don't actually have to open an entire bottle. It's a very small needle that is injected through the cork, and you can literally pour out a few ounces just to taste. And once you remove the needle, the cork closes back up, so there's no air that gets in there. So the environment inside the bottle stays exactly the same.
I don't know. I have to tell you that as many cool things as there are in a, you know, pretty fancy Upper West Side apartment with pretty fancy wine cooler that no one knew was, not a cooler is the wrong word, but a system that no one knew was on the fritz, you know, it was just a miserable moment. Because what happens is people don't as with many things, you think it's taken care of, you put it in a climate-controlled environment, and then you go away.
Now, do we sound
loud? And you forget about it.
Do we sound louder to you guys
now?
They're
able to, he can hear me.
Yes.
You sound louder and intermittent.
Okay, well, it shouldn't be much more intermittent. I think I found out what I had to do.
That's but, okay. This is
well, it's intermittent because that could be because Jill is always the one who is interrupting you. So, I mean, I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? So,
troublemaker.
I'm only interrupting him in my view. A long time ago, when I still had a mother, and went to choir, which no one's done for decades. Okay. She was trying to find a diplomatic way to tell me that I was way too loud and off key. And so at the end of the performance, she came up to me and she said, honey, do you have to sing so loud? And I said, and I quote, well, somebody's got to lead them. So that was the end of her. And I just weigh in with interruptions from time to time if I feel in my, humble, uneducated opinion that we're veering into a direction that I just as soon not go, Greg. So
there you go, Greg.
Okay. So is it less intermittent, or are we good? Hello.
Well, yeah, we're here. We're here.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you are going a little in and out.
All right, well, Marshall's going to keep working on that because this is just otherwise going to be a Mercury retrograde at its best, which is just...
That's what's going on.
Yeah.
Maybe this will help the signal because Tim and I just discussed, I showed him the figure, we're going to donate $1,000.
What?
To the cause.
So what's the matter with you guys? No. That's, you donated before.
No, because we want the invitation to the opening of the new we want to
encourage other people to please step up and give.
We'll do anything to get an invitation to a wine and cheese party.
We'll bring good wine that hasn't turned.
What's even better is that your HVA people will be able to
that's what I was
hear
telling
this.
You, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, I heard you say that, and that's the main thing. I'm going to just say thank you so much, and thank
Absolutely.
You for setting that as an example. Because as I was listening to Marshall, I was we know that I'm terminally late, but as I was listening to Marshall say that, I was thinking, listen, I love our underwriters and I love our donors. And usually the donors are the people who just really have the least to give. And I know so many people who listen or call and ask for something and this and that. And I was kind of going through, this is evil, that list in my mind going, yeah. And this radio station is to help everybody, not just...
Yes.
Yeah, what I was figuring, and this was on Sunday, I was sitting here and I was talking to a friend. So I said, geez, I really wish I could do a GoFundMe campaign, but we just raised all that money to replace the AM transmitter when that died and the people came by and we raised almost $30,000 and stuff like that. And my friend looked at me and said, hey, well, this is an emergency. You've got a chance to add another frequency, which fills out your listening area and enables more people to listen. So, do it, and especially the fact that you have a matching donor, so you can turn $10,000 into 20, and your $1,000 donation immediately turns in, if we reach the 10 grand mark, turns into $2,000. That's the amazing thing. And that's why I decided to go ahead with it, because it's very rare that you can turn $10,000 into $20,000 with the snap of a finger.
And then I'm also going to say this, Marshall detests asking people for money. He hates it more than a lot of things. And so
it is not easy, but I will tell you that the big thing is that you have to get the information out there.
Yeah. Right.
Because the more that it's out there, the people are aware that there is a need, because without that communication, people think everything is going just swimmingly.
Right.
And they think everything is fine. So you have to think of it in that term, is that you're constantly letting the listeners know, hey, we're doing well, but we want to do even better, and we want to expand this so that we can expand our base and also help our the people that support and our advertisers grow their business as well. And this is a really good way to do that.
Well, we thank you always for your support. And you've been with us almost since day one, since when we started the radio station. And
I mean, it's over 10 years.
I think this could be our 10th year. I think this might be our 10th year.
And so we'll get you some good wine.
That's right. We'll have a special bottle. I'll tell you what, we'll have a special bottle of really great wine and really great aged cheese.
Well, but seriously, it's very important. And especially in this day of Facebook hacking and all this, you need a place to get good news and get the news from a reputable source and all of that. And that's why the NPR and what you guys are doing is just a wonderful thing. So we'd like to support that.
All right.
Thank you very much.
So you guys are going to stay put for a week and we'll speak to you next week at the same location?
Oh, well, I don't know. I'm going to be at my mom's. I leave on Sunday and I'll be there for a week. And at that hour of the morning, I probably won't be able to.
Well, we'll see.
We'll play it by ear.
I'll be here.
All right. Well, say hello to your mom for us, and we hope everything's fine there. And if we don't speak to you, we'll speak to you in 2 weeks, Greg. But Tim, we'll speak to you next week.
Yes, definitely. And good luck with everything.
Good luck with you guys.
To our friends.
Thank you so much.
Fundraiser.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Tim, Luke, Greg Schramm, the appraisal guy, is the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This on Robin Hood Radio.